Divorce proceedings delayed my voyage, and the gloom of yet another world war had settled upon the globe when, after a winter of ennui and pneumonia in Portugal, I at last reached the States. In New York, I eagerly accepted the soft job fate offered me. It consisted mainly of thinking up and editing perfume ads. I welcomed its desultory character and pseudo-literary aspects, attending to it whenever I had nothing better to do. On the other hand, I was urged by a wartime university in New York to complete my comparative history of French literature for English-speaking students. The first volume took me a couple of years, during which I put in seldom less than 15 hours of work daily. As I look back on those days, I see them divided tidily into ample light and narrow shade. The light pertaining to the solace of research in palatial libraries, the shade to my excruciating desires and insomnias, of which enough has been said. Knowing me by now, the reader may well imagine how dusty and hot I got, trying to catch a glimpse of nymphettes, alas, always remote, playing in Central Park, and how repulsed I was by the glitter of deodorized career girls that a gay dog in one of the offices kept unloading upon me. Let us skip all that. A dreadful breakdown sent me to a sanatorium for more than a year. I went back to my work, only to be hospitalized again. Robust outdoor life seemed to promise me some relief. One of my favorite doctors, a charming cynical chap with a little brown beard, had a brother, and this brother was about to lead an expedition into Arctic Canada. I was attached to it as a recorder of psychic reactions. With two young botanists and an old carpenter, I shared now and then, never very successfully, the favors of one of our nutritionists.